Thank you, George. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. What a joy it is to come together the first Sunday of 2022 to worship the Lord, to praise His holy name, and to receive from His holy word. We continue our study in the book of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 14, and our text this morning is Matthew chapter 14, verses 14 to 21. Matthew chapter 14, verses 14 to 21. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now we said last time that in chapters 14 right up to chapter 20 of the Gospel of Matthew, we find a period of time recorded by Matthew where we see Jesus often withdrawing from the crowds. We find him withdrawing from the crowds and spending time alone with his disciples. Matthew 14 verse 13. "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns." We also said that the reason for these withdrawals were because, number one, there was this growing hostility of his enemies, and there was need for physical rest for the Lord and his disciples, and the need to prepare his disciples for his future death on the cross. But often what happened was the crowds followed Jesus and he was unable to remain alone. So we find him unselfishly ministering even during these times. He ministers to their needs in spite of his own need for rest and solitude. Then we also notice that in Matthew chapters 14 right up to chapter 20, there are 3 groups of people. One, we see the enemies of Christ. Then we see the multitudes that are in need. And then we see the disciples. Now we also see the same 3 groups of people here in this chapter, in Matthew chapter 14, which is our text. And we see the response of Jesus towards these people. First, we see his response to the enemies. His response to his enemies. And his response is one of caution, which we looked into last Sunday in Matthew chapter 14 verses 1 to 13. Then we see his response to the needy multitudes. And his response is a response of compassion. Matthew chapter 14 verses 14 to 21. And then we see to the disciples, his response is that of care and concern. Matthew chapter 14 verses 22 to 36. Now we looked at the enemies of Christ and his response to them. As I said, we looked into that last Sunday. And today we look at the needy multitudes and his response to them. His response of compassion. Matthew chapter 14 verses 14 to 21. Jesus and his disciples desperately needed rest. Mark chapter 6 verses 30 to 31 we read. Mark 6, 30 to 31. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." Yet the needs of the multitudes touched his heart. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. I read from the King James Version. Matthew 14, verse 14. "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Now this Greek word translated "moved with compassion," that is the phrase, "moved with compassion." The Greek word is splanknitzome. And it literally means to have one's inner being, one's viscera, stirred. It is stronger than the word sympathy. Your inner being is stirred because of compassion. The word is used 12 times in the Gospels. And 8 of these references of this Greek word splanknitzome, 8 times it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw these needy multitudes. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep that had been lacerated from brutal fleecing, torn, exhausted, wandering. That was how the crowds were. And twice we find he was moved with compassion when he beheld the hungry multitudes without food. He saw them hungry, and the multitudes were hungry without food, and he had compassion. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Again in Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. I am unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. So he had compassion for these hungry crowds. The two blind men and also the leper stirred his compassion. Matthew chapter 20 verse 34. Matthew 20 verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Again we read in Mark chapter 1 verses 40 and 41 regarding the leper. Mark chapter 1 verses 40 and 41. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Then we see the sorrow of the widow at Nain. That also moved Jesus with compassion. Luke chapter 7 verses 12 to 15. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Jesus uses this word compassion in 3 of his parables. We see this in the parable where the king had compassion on his bankrupt servant and forgave him his debt. And so in this manner, we also ought to forgive one another. That's the teaching of the parable. Matthew chapter 18 verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, you see the word there again, splanknitzome, out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Compassion. Compassion. Again, we see this word in the parable of the Samaritan who had compassion on the Jewish victim and how he cared for him in love, in compassion. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion." Splanknit zome. He had compassion. "He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Also again in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, the father had compassion. The father had compassion on his wayward son, and he runs to greet him when he comes home. Luke chapter 15, I read verse 20. Luke 15 verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion." Splanknit zome. Again, you find the same word. He felt compassion. He saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. If our heavenly Father has such compassion toward us, should we not have compassion toward others? You see, it is the compassion of God, the great love and mercy of God, because of which he sent his only begotten Son into this world. God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. He feels for us. He knows that without salvation, without the work of Jesus on the cross, we would perish eternally. And he does not want us to perish. He has compassion for us. His inner being is so moved, and because of his compassion, he sends his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. Now, this miracle, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, is recorded in all the four Gospels. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, Mark chapter 6, verses 35 to 44, Luke chapter 9, verses 12 to 17, and John chapter 6, verses 4 to 13. In all the four Gospels, we find the feeding of the 5,000 recorded. It was definitely a miracle. And those who teach that Jesus only encouraged the people to bring out their own hidden lunches have ignored the clear statements here in God's word. In John chapter 6 verse 14 it says, John 6 verse 14, "When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, 'This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world.'" John 6 14, the sign that clearly calls this event a sign or miracle. Then in the next verse we read, John 6 verse 15, "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." Would that crowd have wanted to crown Jesus king simply because he tricked them into sharing their lunch boxes? Not likely. Not likely. It takes a little imagination to picture the embarrassing plight of these disciples. Here were more than 5,000 hungry people, and they had nothing to feed them. Certainly the disciples knew that Jesus was powerful enough to meet the need, but they did not turn to him for help. And instead, they took inventory of their own food supply. A boy had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and they found that. They also took inventory of their limited treasury. They hardly had any money. Mark chapter 6 verse 37. I read to you from the New Living Translation. Mark chapter 6 verse 37. But Jesus said, you feed them with what they asked. We'd have to work for months to earn enough to buy food for all these people. In other words, they were saying, you're kidding. We don't have that kind of money. When they considered the time, it was evening, and also the place, it was a desolate place. So they come to a conclusion that nothing could be done to solve this problem. And that was their problem. And their counsel to the Lord was, send them away, send them away. Matthew chapter 14 verse 15. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But a God of compassion will not send them away. Matthew chapter 14 verses 16 to 17. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. Now, isn't this how many of us react as believers? For some reason, it is never the right time or place for God to work. We have a problem, but instead of turning to Christ and seeking his face, we manipulate. And that's our great problem. For some reason, it is never the right time or place for God to work when we face a problem. And that's our danger. That's our problem. Jesus watched his frustrated disciples as they tried to solve the problem. But the Bible tells us in John chapter 6 verse 6, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. He himself knew what he would do. He wanted to teach them a lesson in faith and surrender. Jesus knew very well that these hungry people would faint on the way if they were not given food. You see, the heart of Christ is a heart of compassion. The only way that a ministry can become effective is when there is concern, when there is compassion. It would take time for these disciples to learn this, but they eventually did learn. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. His heart is a heart that is full of compassion. We need to ask the Lord to fill us with this heart of compassion, with his heart of compassion. And may the Lord give us a compassionate ministry. In James chapter 2 verses 14 to 16, James tells us in James 2 verses 14 to 16, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? There is tremendous opportunity for a compassionate ministry here in our country. If alone we would see the needs of people and begin to minister the compassion of Christ to them. May the Lord give us a heart of compassion and to reach out to these people who are in need. Now, as said earlier, all 4 Gospels give us an account of this miracle. And when we study all the 4 accounts, we find the number of people would easily be 10,000. Because the men alone mentioned were 5,000 in number. The 5,000 in number were just the men. So there would most likely be at least 10,000 people there. And John's account of the miracle tells us that Jesus first tested Philip by asking him where they could buy enough bread to feed the crowd. John 6 verses 5 to 7. John chapter 6 verses 5 to 7. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Philip counted the cost and he decided that they would need the equivalent of 200 days' wages, and even that would not be enough. Now, very often we think that money can solve the problem. Very often we think that money is the answer to every need. Don't we think that way? If only we had the money, we could solve the problem. That is a very dangerous way of thinking. Jesus was testing the strength of Philip's faith, for he himself knew what he would do. Here is a very important lesson for us to remember when we go through crisis in our lives. When your resources are low and your responsibilities are large, it is very important to remember that God already has the problem solved. I repeat, when your resources are low and your responsibilities are large, it is very important to remember that God already has the problem solved. When we are walking in the will of God, we need to learn to depend on His provision for us, and we must not panic. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's resources. Andrew found a boy who was willing to generously donate his lunch. John chapter 6 verses 8 and 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Now in the Gospels we find that Andrew is always busy bringing people to Jesus. That's what we find in the Gospels. John chapter 1 verses 40 and 41. John 1, 40 and 41. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. Again in John chapter 12 verses 20 to 22. "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Now we do not know how Andrew met this boy. We don't know. In the few accounts that we have of Andrew in the Gospels, we find him as a people person, desiring to solve problems. Did Andrew know the boy? Did the boy offer his little lunch without being asked? We don't know. But this fact is true, that when you give what you have to the Lord, you will be surprised to see what God can do with it. And I'm assuring you of this, He will multiply, pressed down, running over. When you give what you have to the Lord, you will be surprised to see what God can do with it. Jesus took the little boy's lunch, He blessed it, He broke it, and He handed it out to His disciples, and they fed the whole crowd. They fed the whole crowd. The miracle took place in the hands of Jesus, not in the hands of the disciples. He was the one who multiplied the food. The disciples had the joy and privilege of passing it out. That's it. The people were fed and they were satisfied. The disciples also collected 12 baskets of fragments for future use. You see, our Lord Jesus wasted nothing. Now, what are the practical lessons that we learn from this miracle? Whenever there is a need, give all that you have to Jesus and let Him do the rest. Begin with what you have. First of all, we must recognize the need. And that's why we need a heart of compassion. We must recognize the need. And when there is a need, whenever there is a need, give all that you have to Jesus and let Him do the rest. Begin with what you have. Be sure that you give it all to Him. The little boy should be commended for giving his lunch to Jesus. His mother must be commended also for giving him something to give to Jesus. Parents, please teach your children to give, and you will see them being blessed. The gift of that little lunch that the boy gave meant as much to Jesus as the pouring out of that expensive ointment by Mary in the home of Lazarus. Remember when he studied John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 12 and verse 3. John chapter 12 verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Luke chapter 9 verse 16. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven. John chapter 6 verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. Jesus looked up to heaven while he gave thanks. In doing so, he was reminding the hungry people that God is the source of all good and needful gifts. Here is another lesson for us. Instead of complaining about what we do not have, we should give thanks to God for what we do have. We should give thanks to God for what we do have. When we do so, what happens? He will take us further. So don't take the food that you eat for granted. Do not take the food that you eat for granted. Make sure that you give thanks, remembering that we have because of the fact that He gives. Now, as said earlier, some liberal preachers tell us that Jesus did not perform a miracle. They say that the generosity of the boy only embarrassed the other people, and so they brought out their hidden lunches and they shared them with others. That's an absolute denial of the truth. That's a lie. That's a blatant lie. Jesus knows the hearts of men. He knew they were hungry. He had told the disciples to give them food. John 6 verse 5. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knows the hearts of people. John chapter 2 verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. At one point of time, he told his disciples in John 6 verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Again in John 6 verse 64. John 6 verse 64. "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." John chapter 6 verse 70. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" So he knows the hearts of men. And since Jesus knows the hearts of men, he sure would have known if they had hidden food. Even the people themselves declared that this was a miracle, and they even wanted to crown him king. And I read to you again, John 6 verses 13 to 15. John chapter 6, 13 to 15. "Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.' Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." Had this been the result of some mass psychology, the crowd would not have responded that way, wanting to make him king. John chapter 6 verse 14. "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.'" John would not have recorded this as one of the signs if this was not an authentic miracle. It was a miracle indeed. Christ meets our needs as we look to him. And as we continue to look to him, he continues to meet our needs. And this miracle was more than an act of mercy for hungry people, though that was important. These signs authenticated the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. But let's not stop there. John gives us an account of the sermon that Jesus preached the next day. And that's important. Because in that sermon, Jesus proclaimed that he was the bread of life. And he urged the people to receive him as they had received the bread. And we find this recorded in John chapter 6 verses 22 to 59. The people were more interested in satisfying their bellies, and they completely missed the spiritual impact of the miracle. Jesus said, he proclaimed that he was the bread of life. John chapter 6 verses 26 to 27. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. John chapter 6 verses 35 to 36. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. The desire of the people was to make Jesus king so that he would give them bread for the rest of their lives. Sad, isn't it? But isn't that true even today? Man is more concerned about the bread that perishes than the bread that nourishes his soul. And there is a false gospel, a prosperity gospel that caters to this, the bread that perishes. That gospel does not cater to the bread that nourishes the soul. What bread do we work for? Let us ask ourselves that question. What bread do we work for? Do we work for the bread that nourishes our soul or for the bread that perishes? Notice the steps that we must take when faced with the problems of life. Number one, we must start with what we have. Start with what you have. Our job is not to multiply the loaves and the fish. Our job is to bring what we have and give it to him. He is the one who feeds the 5,000. Matthew chapter 14 verses 17 to 18. They said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. Andrew found a lad who had a small lunch, and he brought the lad to Jesus. Was the boy willing to give up his lunch? Yes, he was. God begins where we are, and God uses what we give him. He uses what we have, what we give him. Number two, give what you have to Jesus. Start with what you have. Give what you have to Jesus. Matthew 14 verse 19. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Jesus took that simple lunch. He blessed it and he shared it. The miracle of multiplication was in his hands. You see, little is much if God is in it. Little is much if God is in it. Jesus broke the bread and gave the pieces to the disciples, and they in turn fed the multitudes. Number three, obey what he commands. The disciples had the people sit down as Jesus ordered. Matthew chapter 14 verses 19 to 20. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. They took the broken pieces and distributed them and discovered that there was plenty for everybody. As his servants, we are distributors, not manufacturers. I repeat, as his servants, we are distributors, not manufacturers. If we give what we have to Jesus, he will bless it and give it back to us for use in feeding others. Number four, conserve the results. Conserve the results. Matthew chapter 14 verse 20. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. They took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. There were 12 baskets filled with pieces of bread and fish after the people had eaten all they wanted. I love that, the last part of that verse. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Jesus does a lot with broken pieces. And we are all broken pieces, aren't we? There were 12 baskets filled with broken pieces of bread and fish after the people had eaten all they wanted. But these pieces were carefully collected so that nothing was wasted. Mark chapter 6 verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Again, John 6 verse 12. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. Now I wonder how many of the pieces of those broken pieces the boy took back home with him. Imagine his mother's amazement when the boy told her the story. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was actually a sermon in action. It is a sermon in action. Jesus is the bread of life. And only He can satisfy the spiritual hunger in man's heart. The tragedy is, men waste their time, money and energy on that which is not bread. Isaiah chapter 55 verses 1 to 3. Isaiah 55 verses 1 to 3. Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Isaiah chapter 55 verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. People today are making the same mistake. Instead of seeking the kingdom of God, they waste their time, money and energy on that which is not bread. The Lord tells us, Matthew chapter 6 verses 31 to 34. Matthew chapter 6 verses 31 to 34. Therefore, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus still has compassion on the hungry multitudes, and he still says to his church, give them something to eat. Give them something to eat. How easy it is for us to send people away, to make excuses, to plead a lack of resources. Jesus asks that we give him all that we have and let him use it as he sees fit. Because there's a hungry world outside. A hungry world is feeding on empty substitutes today while we deprive them of the bread of life. When we give Christ what we have, we never lose. We always end up with more blessing than when we started. Let's bow our heads in prayer.